everyone to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are so glad you've joined us today. It's that river of God's anointing, and that is what it's all about. God's presence in our lives, working with us, working in us, and changing us, that makes all the difference. We are so glad you've joined us today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope, and I'm the only one in the studio today, Bill. Looks a little weird, doesn't it?
She's the only one.
Oh, I can always count on you for a lovely little song.
How's your wonderful book doing?
Hey, actually, it is good, and it is being... it's really making a lot of progress in the prison where my daughter is. So it's cool. So we can talk about that later. It's on our website, beaconoffolkministries.com is our website. And we are glad you've joined us. If you've joined us in the Tampa Bay area, you can actually listen online. Great reception. We're on around the globe right this moment. And that address online is www.tantalk1340.com. And you can push the listen button and get right in on the show right now, right?
And many prayers going out to the Little Rock, Arkansas listener area that covers seven states, you know,
yes.
Alabama, Mississippi,
right?
You know, went through there.
Yeah, they had a big storm, right?
Deadly tornadoes. So
yes.
we pray for them.
Exactly. Yes, we are so glad that that whole area, there's like an eight-state area, I believe, isn't it? That this radio show is on live on their radio there because it's owned by the same group now. So that is really cool. Welcome to all of you. And yes, we do speak peace to all of you in the midst of this turmoil and bad weather that's been going on. We'll probably hear a little bit about that from our dear friend Carol when she joins us from Georgia after a while, because they've been having a lot of stuff too. So anyway, we're just glad you've joined us. It's beautiful here in Clearwater. For those of you that are having stormy weather or rainy weather today, we're enjoying sunshine. Wow, it's just gorgeous. And as I was driving along by the water to come to the station from my home, the fish were jumping in and out of the water, and it was just it's just beautiful. So boats out, and one of those days around here, you might want to come visit us down here because it's beautiful.
Have you, I watched a show last night on a history
yes.
channel.
Yes.
It's God versus Satan. Have you seen that?
I have not. It sounds like a good show.
And talk about revelations and all that.
All right. Pastor Jim's been teaching on some of that.
I just wondered if you've seen it.
I did not, but okay. I'll have to check it out.
All
yeah.
right. I watched it last night.
Okay. We're glad you did. That's cool, Bill. All right. We love our announcer. He's a sweetheart. And we are so glad that we are having this opportunity today to get in the Word and learn about God and what He wants for us. And it's going to be a really good show. We're going to be talking. The title today is The Joy of Excellent Obedience. Now, that's quite a title. The Joy of Excellent Obedience. Oh, yes, you want me to? Yeah, all right, I can do that. Yeah, and because that's kind of a powerful title, but it has a lot to say. And we are on Palm Sunday of 2011, and so we're going to talk about that. It all feeds together, and we're going to talk about the blessings that God has in store for us. And He is doing so much in so many lives. We are seeing huge answers to prayer. There were so many praise reports at Beacon of Hope this morning. Jobs that had two different ones of our people that we'd been praying for jobs got good jobs, jobs they wanted. One lady actually got two jobs and had to pick from which one she was going to take. So that was really cool. And there's just been a lot of answers to prayer in people's lives and hopefully in your life. If you have a prayer need, if you have something that you need some people to pray about, we have an opportunity for you. And that is you can go to our 24/7 crisis prayer line. It's an email line, and it is prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Prayers@PRAYERS, or prayers, either way you want to say it. Prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can send in your request 24/7, 365, and it'll be picked up by our prayer team and sent out along with a prayer. for your need, and we will see the answers to prayer. Pastor Jim keeps that log. He's got a notebook of all the prayers and the answers to prayer, the incredible praise reports. And they're not incredible. They're actually believable, come to think of it, because God is just moving so mightily in people's lives. And so we're cataloging those, and we're keeping track of all those answers to prayer. And it is amazing, and it just is such a faith builder for our people to see how God is moving in their lives. We have that available to you at any time. So all you have to do is get in your email and type prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. If you want to receive those requests and be a part of our prayer team, we welcome you. We have so many people scattered around several states that are, and sometimes other countries, that are on that prayer list. So all we ask you to do is, if you want to be a part of the prayer team, again, just write prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can simply say, put me on the prayer team, and you can be there. And so every time those requests come in, sometimes 3 and 4 requests a day, sometimes we may go a day or two and not have one, and then we get 10 in one day. So, you know, it's just there's a lot of volume on it, and we want you to be a part of it if you want to be. So we're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life, and we're going to be in the book of John, and we're going to be in chapter 11. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and find that. And we are going to be joined by Carol later on in the show, so it'll be cool. So let's get going. We've got a great song to start with. New song is the group. The name of it is Blessed Be Your Name for this Palm Sunday.
We come to worship the Lord tonight. We proclaim your righteousness in this great assembly. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Shining down on me when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name.
Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord today. Hallelujah. It's a great new song by New Song. Wow, I like that. Wonderful. My heart chooses to say, blessed be the name, no matter what we are going through. And that is what God wants us to do, dear ones. God wants us to learn to praise him and love him and bless his name and exalt him, even when we may not feel like it. Maybe our circumstances are not great and we're in a situation. And we're going to talk about one of those circumstances here in John chapter 11. So if you have your Bible, let's go there. This is a kind of a preamble to Palm Sunday, because we see here the story of Lazarus of Bethany. And he had two sisters, and a lot of you may remember this. He had Mary and Martha. Martha was the one who was always busy serving and getting, you know, fixing food and getting everything ready. Mary is the one who was so in love with Jesus that she would worship at his feet, that she would actually anoint his feet with oil. And that happened. Mary was one that did that in the last week, right before he went to the cross. And we find in John chapter 11 that Jesus is about 18 miles away from Bethany, which is where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. Jesus was about 18 miles away, and he was ministering. And Jesus got a message, and I'm in verse 4 of John 11. And he got a message that Lazarus, his good friend, was very, very ill and was about to die. And so we see in verse 4 that Jesus says, this sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son. And let's remember that verse right there, John 11, 4, as we go through this teaching right now, because even though the family of Lazarus was very distraught over how sick Lazarus was, Jesus says, this isn't fatal. You know, this is going to be an occasion for God's glory to shine forth. And one thing, if you take notes, I want you to write this down somewhere. For faith to grow, you have to have a problem. Now, a lot of us hate problems. You know, we just like, oh no, it's another problem. It's another awful circumstance. But how would our faith ever grow if we never had a challenge? We never had a problem. We never had an opportunity. We need to begin to look at problems as opportunities for our faith to grow. Because when your back is up against the wall and you're going through some really difficult times, that's when you need to be getting in your Bible, as you should be doing all the time, by the way, but get in your Bible and find the promise that God has spoken concerning your situation. And then you reach out and you believe it. You believe God's promise. And so faith grows when you do have a challenge, a problem. And here we see that Lazarus was very, very ill. And when Jesus got the word that Lazarus was so sick, he just stayed where he was two more days. And finally, he said to his disciples, okay, let's go back there. And in verse 8 of John 11, I'm in the Message Bible, so it may not sound like some of yours. The disciples said to Jesus, wait a minute, they're trying to kill you. Why are we going back there to Judea? Because they really want to kill you. And then Jesus goes on and basically says, that's where we're going. So let's get going, guys. And As we understand the story of Lazarus, and let's go down to verse 14. And the disciples are, first of all, arguing with him about, why are we going back there? You know, they're trying to kill you. And Jesus says in verse 11 of John 11 that Lazarus has fallen asleep. And he says, I'm going to go wake him up. And basically, they took him literally, the disciples, and they said, well, if he's asleep, he'll wake up in the morning and he'll be rested and he'll be fine. And finally, Jesus very, very emphatically says, Lazarus died. Now, they hadn't even come and told him that he had died. He knew that. Okay. He just knew that. And in verse 14, Jesus says, Lazarus died, and I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Let's go to him. Again, we see Jesus saying, okay, this may seem really, really awful right now that Lazarus has already died. He's not asleep, guys. He actually died. But there's good that's going to come from this. And you are going to have your faith increased as a result of this death. And this is how we need to begin to look at the situations in our lives, dear ones. If you don't get anything else out of this show today, please understand this, that we get to a point in life where we begin to realize that Romans 8:28 is really true. And it says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So often we struggle with thinking, God, how can any good come out of this mess I'm in right now? God, how can there be anything wonderful happen to me as a result of this huge problem I have? Now, keep in mind, problems cause us to increase our faith. If you want your faith to grow, you really need a problem in your life. Some of you are going, that sounds a little weird to me. Anyway, Lazarus did die. And Jesus says, you know what? This is really going to be good for you that Lazarus died. Now, in our humanness, we can't understand how anything like that could be good. Yet Jesus goes on to say, it's okay. Your faith's going to grow here. So Thomas, one of the disciples, comes up to him and he says, well, come on, we might as well all die with him, because they really thought if they went back to Judea that they would be killed. So we see a lot of negativity. We see a lot of unbelief right there. Of course, this is the same Thomas who later was the doubting Thomas. Some of you may remember. So we see his nature here. All right. So Jesus gets there, and I'm down in verse 17. And Lazarus had been dead how many days? Some of you know, 4 days already. That's a long time, 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem. That's the name of the town, only a couple miles away from Jerusalem. And so Mary and Martha had a lot of their friends and relatives there sympathizing with them and lamenting and crying. So Jesus arrives finally, and Lazarus has already been dead 4 days. So Martha says, Master, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you. Which is interesting. You see Martha's faith right there. And she really begins to acknowledge who Jesus really is. I'm in verse 23. Jesus said, your brother will be raised up. Now, Jesus goes ahead and gives her the promise. And, you know, the promises that God has for us, they're right here in our Bibles. They're in our Word. We have them right here. Jesus gives her the promise, your brother will be raised up. Now, here's a very human response that Martha had, and it's in verse 24. Oh, I know he's going to be raised up in the resurrection at the end time. Now, Jesus says in verse 25, you don't have to wait for that. I am the resurrection and the life. All through the book of John, you see God calling himself, Jesus saying, I am. I am what? We talked about it last week. I'm the good shepherd. We talked about I am the door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. All these, the vine, all these different things that Jesus says he is. Here in John 11, verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, he's also giving us a little preamble or a little view into the fact that he was going to become the resurrected Lord in just a few days. From then, probably a couple weeks, we're not exactly sure, but it wasn't very much time between the situation with Lazarus and when Jesus went to the cross. It was a very close timetable. And Jesus goes on to say to her, everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? Verse 27, Martha says, yes, Master, all along I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who comes into the world. You know, that is what God wants to hear us say. That is how you get born again. When you say, God, I believe that Jesus Christ is that promised Messiah, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of my soul, that he is my healer, my deliverer, that he is the Son of God. I believe that. and I believe that God raised him from the dead. And when you actually believe that, that is the prayer that gets you your salvation. Now, you know, here's Martha going, yeah, I believe you're the Messiah. Yeah, that's cool. But she really did not understand that Jesus was getting ready to do a tremendous life-changing miracle here in John chapter 11. So she goes and gets Mary, and all the friends gather around, and they go to the tomb, and Jesus goes with them. Now, he's been dead, Lazarus, 4 days. Now, the rabbis taught that for the first 3 days after somebody died, the spirit was still roving around in the tomb, kind of hanging out to see if something would happen and they'd get back into the body. It was just kind of a weird teaching. We don't see that being scriptural, but that is what they thought. And so by the fourth day, that means they acknowledge the spirit has left and gone somewhere. Okay. And so as a result of that, there was more crying and weeping on the fourth day than there would have been even on day one, two, and three. So as they get to the tomb, Mary comes along and she says in verse 32, Jesus, had you been here, my brother would not have died. And that's kind of cool. Mary's acknowledging that Jesus could have healed his body because we know he was the healer. He was walking around healing all who were oppressed by the devil. That's Acts 10:38. And we don't see one instance where Jesus said, no, I won't heal you. When people came to him, it says he healed all. Okay, so let's look at verse 33. When Jesus saw her sobbing and the Jews were sobbing, a deep anger welled up within him. And I really feel like this is because he realized that the devil had really done a number on Lazarus' body and killed him. Now, we have been saying for weeks on Living a Good Life, and we say it all the time, and I want to make sure you understand this. God does not put sickness on people. If this disease that happened to Lazarus was from God, then Jesus would have said, wait a minute, I can't do anything about it, guys. He's dead. You know, this is a gift from God that he died. You know, that is such a lie of the devil. It is not a gift from God to have sickness of any kind in our bodies. And because that is true, remember Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief, meaning Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come to give you life and to give it abundantly. So because of that, Jesus could confidently stand there in front of that tomb and know what the will of the Father was concerning Lazarus. Now, Jesus had already seen it in his spirit that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He went to Bethany confident. He even told the disciples, it's okay, I'm going to go wake up Lazarus. Okay. He already knew in advance that he was going to wake up Lazarus and that Lazarus was not going to stay dead. Now, for most people, when they die, they're gone. They're dead, right? You know, and obviously their spirit goes to heaven and so forth if they're a born again Christian. But once that body dies, you don't see very often that body coming back to life. There have been some reports of that through different people's ministries, but not a lot. So, but Jesus said to the disciples in advance, I'm going over there and I'm going to wake up Lazarus. So Jesus knew what the will of the Father was before he ever got there. Now, why was Jesus angry? I believe he was angry because the devil had done this, you know, and his good friend. And he was angry because, you know, it made the family so sad and all this. In verse 34 and 35, John 11:35 is the shortest verse in the entire Bible. And it's very simple. It says, Jesus wept, and Jesus wept, you know, and Jesus cried. He cried. He had human emotions. And Jesus cried when he saw all the sadness here and Lazarus in that tomb. And the Jews say, well, look how deeply he loved him. Wow. Others said, well, I love verse 37 because it shows you that the devil is always out there putting thoughts against the work of God Almighty and what he wants to do. And so the devil speaks really through some of these people and they say, well, if he loved him so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? After all, he opened the eyes of a blind man. Now, this is so interesting because even though the Satan, the accuser, comes through some of these people standing around the tomb, Jesus knows what he's going to do, and he doesn't fall for that or even answer that. Instead, Jesus simply says in verse 38, 39, remove the stone. Remove the stone. And that's something I want to talk to Carol about when she joins me in a moment. Remove the stone, because that has a lot of significance right there. The sister of the dead man, Martha, said, Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus looked her in the eye and he said, Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Go ahead, take away the stone. They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven. He prayed, Father, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me. In other words, Jesus takes this opportunity to go ahead and thank God and praise God before he sees the answer. And verse 43, then he shouted, Lazarus, come out. And he came out, a cadaver wrapped from head to toe and with a kerchief over his face. Jesus said, unwrap him and let him loose. And we got a lot to talk about. Carol, my friend, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. Woo! Ready to discuss this wonderful event, Palm Sunday.
And, you know, this is the beginning of Palm Sunday, even though this event of Lazarus took place maybe a couple weeks prior. It is the catalyst, and that's why I wanted to start with this today as we talk about Palm Sunday. It's the catalyst that caused the crowds to come to the streets of Jerusalem to see Jesus. They came because of this event and of course, all the healings and miracles that Jesus had done. But this healing of Lazarus just catapulted the whole thing into the public arena where Jesus brings a dead man out of the tomb that's been there 4 days. Wow.
I don't know of another human being that could ever have done that.
There isn't another human being.
And well, how many funerals have you attended where people just wail and carry on and run to the casket and try to pull life out of a stone body?
Mm-hmm. That's not possible, yes. I do know, though, that some people do lay hands on dead people and they do come back. And I know that has happened. Smith Wigglesworth had that happen in his ministry different times.
Oh, yes.
And there's others that yep. has happened. But it is not the common, ordinary thing that we see, you know.
But it's not us doing it. It's the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who has allowed us.
Amen.
To lay hands on people and heal in his name.
Amen.
You know, you and I can do nothing.
Right.
People, you know, how many times have you been called to the bedside of a sick person or
right.
people come up in church at the service to be removed of some malady?
Yes.
It isn't us physically, ourselves as human beings that does it. It's the power of God moving through
us. Yes.
That allows us to do what he wants done.
Yeah, we're just the instrument, the vessel, you know. We're just the mouthpiece, the hands, the, you know, all of that. Absolutely. I find this story very interesting, Carol, because, you know, Jesus had already gotten direction from the Father as to what was going to happen. He wasn't in the dark here, don't you? You know, isn't that cool?
I think it's very cool that he knew.
Yes.
The plan had been laid out. It had
yes.
been discussed many times
mm-hmm.
when he would sit with his father and pray
right.
and talk. Why is this happening? What is the plan? And as each day he began to see more and more of the plan,
right.
which was for him to die, to rest for 3 days and be resurrected and sit at the right hand of his father. Therefore, allowing each of us as human beings to be resurrected in the life that we will enjoy in heaven with
Amen.
With all of the angels and the saints.
Well, that's why he calls himself down there in verse 25, I am the resurrection and life, you know?
Right.
And we are going to, you're right, we are one day, we are going to have on our heavenly bodies, you know, those are going to be cool, you know?
And, yes, and I'll be able to move without all this difficulty in this right ankle and everybody will be healed. All of the illnesses will be no more.
Amen.
And will be restored so that they can praise and glorify him daily, hourly, by the minute.
Absolutely. I really believe that God restores our bodies to kind of like what we were maybe 20, 30 years old. And I have a lot of reason to believe that. But one of the scriptures is in Psalm 103. I think it's about verse 5. It says that, you know, we're always young in his presence. And I think that's just kind of a clue as to what's going to happen. Anyway, at any rate, it doesn't really matter what our resurrection bodies are. We know that they're going to be, we're going to have bodies, and they won't have blood in them, but they will be flesh and bone like Jesus had as he walked through those walls and all of that. Wild, you know?
Yep.
But this whole story about Lazarus is so wonderful because, you know, Jesus was setting about to do what the Father wanted done. And I think that is a huge point here, Carol.
It's very difficult to follow the instructions that God gives us. And when he tells us to do something and we know that the message comes to us from him, it's very difficult at times to take our human side out of it.
Yeah.
And do what we've been instructed to do.
Well, just like Jesus crying. Yeah.
You know how scripture goes and people say all the time, raise a child in the way he should go.
Right.
And he will know from that point on. Meaning, instruct your children to love and honor and respect and have an innate fear of God that if they do bad things, that they need to make that amends with God. That they can come back and do his grace.
Right. Exactly.
And raise your children up. And that's what God's trying to do with us. Raise us up.
Right.
So that we can sit with him. Jesus walked this earth to teach us, not just to preach to us, but to teach us how to live lives that would be glorifying to his Father and to him and lift us above all of sin and immorality and all of those things that keep us out of grace.
Well, absolutely. And it's all about obedience. And I titled this whole show today, The Joy of Excellent Obedience. And we're going to talk more about excellence as we go along. But let's just start with the joy of obedience, because by Jesus obeying what the Father said to do in this circumstance, which was just stay here. Let's give Lazarus a couple days to die. Let's, let the funeral proceedings begin. You know, obedience. Jesus could have been so emotionally entangled to this family, which he was. He was very close to Lazarus and his sisters. But he could have said, no, I'm going to rush right over there right now and do this. But instead, Carol, we see here a perfect picture of the obedience of Jesus following exactly the will of his Father.
That's right. You know, in verse 11, Jesus talks about, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but mm-hmm. I'm going there to wake him, which means I know he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware of the fact mm-hmm. that he's gone. And
right.
I will go awaken him as I have been instructed to do and given the power to do.
Right.
And the disciples replied, but Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. And Jesus says to them, speaking of his death, but the disciples thought he meant natural sleep.
Right. Yeah, they didn't have their spiritual ears on, did they?
And they were not aware at that point that he could raise him.
That's right. Right.
You know, so they were thinking, look, he's probably ill. He's taking a nap. Maybe he feels bad.
Right.
Maybe it's been a hard work day.
Maybe he's got the flu.
And that's what they thought Jesus meant. But Jesus
right.
was saying he is in a death sleep.
Right. Yes.
But I will take care of him. I will bring him back. So he told them plainly, Lazarus, look, guys, I hate to break this to you, but Lazarus is really dead, you know? And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there.
Right.
So that you might believe.
Yes. Right there.
Now, let us
That's
go
it.
To him. Take me to him.
Right.
You know, and don't you know that was kind of a puzzle to them when he said to the disciples, look, okay, I hate to tell it to you this way, but Lazarus is dead.
Right. Yes.
You know, how would I as a human being react if someone were to say to me, you know, Pollyanna Pigtails, well, Carol, she's dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, what can we do? How can we fix anything? And don't you know that was the wonderment they had?
Right.
What do you mean he's dead? Aren't you going to fix it? If
right.
you were there, you could have stopped it.
And it became a really, you know, a point of accusation over in verse 37, where some of them saying, yeah, look how much he loved him. And, you know, why didn't he do something to change this situation, you know,
mm-hmm.
before Lazarus died? But yet it was God the Father's perfect will that Lazarus did die, because
right.
it this whole situation was used to cause the word about him to get out so mightily across the countryside in Judea and Galilee and that whole area, that when these people came up for the Passover in a couple weeks after this incident, they all wanted to see Lazarus and to see Jesus. They had heard so much about this. This miracle really traveled. The word of it, you know, don't you think?
It really did.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there was a gossip line. There's always a gossip line somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, there's always a runner moving to the next village to say what the news of the village they just left was.
Well, since they didn't have cell phones, yeah.
They're running everywhere, and they're saying this Lazarus is dead.
Right, yeah.
And this Jesus is coming to him. Whatever
right.
could that mean? What do we expect? I mean, what do we expect from him? This Lazarus is dead. He's in a dead sleep. He will not rise on his own.
Well, they
so
put
they
him in a tomb.
You know.
Yeah.
They planned everything. They put him in the cave, and they closed
yeah.
that rock off.
Right.
And then when Jesus approached, he's met by the women. Oh, don't go there. My goodness, there's a stench.
Yes, exactly. Well, 4 days, you know. It is bad. In Central America, where I grew up as a missionary's kid, they did not embalm people, Carol. They would, when somebody died, and I remember different people dying, older people in our church and whatever, as a child, I remember going to calling hours at people's homes. Bodies were laying in little pine boxes, and they were stiff, and sometimes they would give a involuntary jerk of a muscle, you know, a hand would go up. I remember seeing that once as a little kid, and this guy in our church, Don Santiago, raised his hand, and I thought, ooh, boy, that guy's not dead. But he really was. It was an involuntary, you know, muscle thing, because they're not embalmed, you know.
Right.
So they're just, he's just laying there in that box, and I had dreams about Don Santiago in his box for a real long time, I'm telling you, Bill, as a kid. I remember seeing him laying there thinking, I wonder if he's moving his arms around, you know. Anyway, they didn't embalm, and that was just the way it was. And so they had to get him buried right away, just like they do in third world countries. They have to, you know, get them buried right away. And
that's right.
the smell, the stench would set in right away, you know.
And that's why they had the oils and things, was to anoint the body.
That's right.
So that they could take care of them in a proper way.
Exactly.
And then they would put them in there, and heaven knows when they would have opened the rocks and moved them back. Probably never in some circumstances.
In some cases, it depends probably on the wealth of the family or whatever, but yes. And in this case, you know, everybody is gathered around. They're doing the traditional Jewish thing when someone dies, and that is they're wailing, they're lamenting, they're crying, and all of this. And even Jesus cried, which I found that was so interesting that he showed his humanity there, Carol.
I think that's a very poignant part
yeah.
of this part of Scripture. He cried. It allows us to know that when we lose somebody, whether it's a symbolic loss or whether it's a physical loss, that we can do the same thing Jesus did,
yeah.
which is to cry out.
Right.
And express our feelings. You know, Jesus allows us, by him crying, it allows us the permission to express our feelings.
Sure,
and
sure.
And say, you know, what happened? How did it happen? What can we do for the family? What can we do? And that's what he was saying. He'd lost a friend. This wasn't a stranger to him. This was a friend.
But, you know, he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. But yet, I find it very interesting, even though Jesus knows the outcome that's going to happen, he goes ahead and allows himself to feel the emotions that we feel, because that allows us to understand that he understands what we feel. You know,
right.
And he understands all the pain and the suffering. And sometimes we do sit down and cry about a situation or the loss of someone, or we grieve. And that's okay. That's all right. That is just normal. You know, that's human. It's okay. You know, and he did that, you know?
He did. And I think as I have studied Scripture and as I've grown up looking and seeking for more and more from God and understanding what my part of this world is supposed to be for him, I've always taught people and experienced it myself that if Jesus could do it, so could I. He has given me permission to love. He has given me permission to forgive and be
Amen.
Forgiven. He has
Amen.
Given me permission to feel the angst
yeah.
and the sorrow of
yeah.
other people. We call it, you know, we call it being compassionate.
Right. And Jesus
and his
was.
Compassion really showed there.
Yes.
He showed it not only for Lazarus, but for Martha and Mary and for the onset of people there, that
right.
he was a compassionate man.
Right. And I think when it says here that the anger welled up in him, I really think that was at the devil and the fact that the devil had done this. But yet, Jesus had the deep understanding that the Father had given him permission to do something about this death, which is too cool. I love that, you know?
So often death has been tragic.
Right.
Or, as we would typically in our human state say, unnecessary.
Right.
Meaning it was a violent death that could have and should have in some way been prevented.
Right.
Whether it's a one-on-one situation or something really tragic. And some people get very angry at
right.
God about that.
Absolutely.
You know, and they take their anger to screaming and condemning and cursing. But we see that Jesus dealt with his anger, but he did not condemn.
No, he didn't. He does not condemn them, you know. And it's just simply that he is master of the situation here. He feels the emotions we feel. He cries, he weeps, he feels anger over the way this thing came out. But that is, in fact, that it resulted in Lazarus' death. But at the same time, you know he's got to be full of joy, Carol, down on the inside, because he knows he has the answer to this situation, praise
yes,
God.
He does. And he's there to ride Woo. In on his little lowly little donkey in a few days and ride in and be able to say, I am humbled.
Yes.
And I am at peace knowing what is going to happen to me. Because even at
Absolutely.
This time with Lazarus' death, he knew where his own fate lay.
Yes, he sure did. Woo! All right. We're going to talk about this more after this Maranatha song, Open Our Eyes, Lord.
And
that is our cry today, and that is our prayer. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. And we want to see you, God, in a new dimension and in a new way. We want to see your power, mighty God. We want to see your ability working in our lives. Carol, I want to talk for a moment about just the humanity here, the feelings of Mary and Martha, that we can really, really, I think, we can identify with how these sisters were in agony. They almost, you know, they say, you know, Jesus, had you been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You know, it's like we want to blame. So often people get into this blaming God. And I think this song right here, open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. We want to see what you're doing in our lives, God, instead of blaming you all the time when things don't go the way we think they should go. Do you have a comment to that?
Well, I think when we're not in Christ, we have a great fear of the way things are going to go.
Right.
We're looking at someone whose life may be teetering on the edge. And our own lives, every day we teeter on the edge of death.
Right.
And we may not be able to understand if we do not understand our relationship with what God has called us to have with Jesus Christ.
Right.
Those of us that live in the world and do not know that, do not understand that, live in a great fear and angry and in deep agony.
I think so. Yeah.
And every little thing goes wrong.
Right.
And they try to fix everything that they can fix in their lives, and they fix it in the wrong way.
Right.
They fix it with alcohol, with drink, with illicit relationships, whatever it might be.
Right.
They try to fix the situation. Or better
put a Band-Aid on it. Yeah.
And those of us that have experienced the love of Christ and have given our lives over to him, we experience this pain and this agony of a death and a resurrection in an entirely different way. We anticipate it.
Right.
We look forward to it. We want the day that when we can go home and yell, Father, Abba.
Amen.
We want to know what all we have been taught and told and learned through Scripture is true and that it is true for us.
It is, and
a
Jesus is coming soon.
Whereas
yes.
People who don't know and accept
mm-hmm.
Jesus
yes.
live in a total fear and a desperation and a great agony.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
and
right.
And I think in this, it shows to Martha and to Mary and everybody there that this is an anticipatory thing. Heaven is anticipatory. Resurrection will come to those who choose to live in Christ.
Right.
And I think they were beginning to understand that even more. It's hurtful to lose somebody that you love.
Right.
But if the somebody that you love is, and you know that they have given their life over to Christ, the agony and the anger of the pain and the sting of death becomes the blossom, the rose that opens up to this great beauty.
Exactly. And, you know, I think so often, Carol, that you're exactly right. When a person dies close to us, it's so painful, and we're not taking away from that. It is painful. You know, when I lost my dad in the fall of 07, it was very, very painful for all of our family, and he had suffered with leukemia for a few months, and it was very difficult. But I can tell you that there were so many wonderful, wonderful times in the last few weeks of his life, and knowing that he was going to be with Jesus, and he was aware of it. He was very thrilled of where he was going. That still does not negate the sadness that the family feels that he is not here with us, especially since there's been so many great grandkids born since his death, and so much that we wish Dad were here to see, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, there have been good things that have resulted from his death. And I think so often we get our eyes just on the pain that we are feeling, and it is hard to not blame God, Carol. And I really feel like there are people out there today listening that cannot maybe get past a situation that has happened to them where they have lost somebody close to them. Our dear Connie lost one of her very best friends yesterday, Carol.
I read that.
Yeah, 55.
That prayer request, and I stopped and said a prayer for
yeah.
Connie. You know, family is family.
Right.
But sometimes We're born into families that are difficult,
right,
at best, to live in. And we make our friends our families. It seems as if we seek people that validate us and that we can validate, that bring us joy and peace and comfort and laughter
A
whole lot of love. And so my heart goes out to Connie.
She's there with the family.
Somebody. You know, it's difficult to lose a friend. It's difficult to lose a family member, just as these women lost their brother. But Jesus made the claim to them in verse 23, your brother will rise and live
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
And that's what we can say to Connie and to every person.
Yes.
Pastor Charlene McLemore in Tennessee lost a niece this week.
Yes,
I
yes.
Said
I'm
to her
so.
Yesterday and today.
Right.
She will rise again in
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
And we have that hope and we have that knowledge. And the wonderful thing about your father's death, you know, I know it's hard to look at it, and it's a wonderful thing, but look at how you have kept his memory alive within the family, even to the new great-grandchildren that are
Absolutely.
Coming. He will be the head of the family
right.
in thought and worship and deed and act, because you each speak of him so lovingly. Each of you have your personal moments with
right.
him, and you have your opportunity to keep him alive and his word alive, and to do what he did to the rest of the world. Being a pastor, he brought love and compassion and
yes.
Jesus Christ to every person he met, in the little villages in Guatemala to
yes.
Indiana to wherever he served and whatever he did, at Butler and every other place he was.
Right.
And he still will do that because he has a family that knows and accepts Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And his job on this earth was done.
Right. But I'm carrying on, and so are some of
That's
the others
right.
of the family. And
who knows what the great-grands are going to do.
We don't know, yes.
You know, from that seed that he planted years ago.
That's exactly right. And, you know, Carol, that's a good point. It was a seed of obedience because, you know, my dad wanted to be a medical doctor, as I did also. And on the battlefield in Germany in World War II, God called him to be a minister. God called him to pastor. And, you know, he obediently said, okay, this is not what I really want to do, but if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. And I thank God for my dad's obedience. It was an example to me. And that just goes right along here with Jesus. Jesus was obedient to his father. There was a joy knowing in Jesus, there was a joy knowing that the father had the plan and all Jesus had to do was execute it. You know
That's
what
right.
I'm saying?
You know, your father knew the plan. He
yes.
knew it on his deathbed.
Right, he
you
did.
Know, you and I spoke so many times
right.
during that period of time.
He sure
and
did.
He was joyous.
Yeah.
He was sad to leave you and leave your mom.
Yeah.
But he was joyous
yes.
in the fact that he knew where he was going to be.
Right.
He felt safe in the Savior's arms.
Yes, he did.
He did not die in great angst, wondering, and the family didn't lament over his casket. Where did he go? Where is he? Is he safe? You all could joyously laugh and praise God
we
and
did.
Sing songs of great jubilation.
Absolutely. It was just a joy, you know. And so often we don't see the why behind a situation, you know. Yet I believe the older I get, Carol, and I'm not quite as old as you, but I'm getting there. But anyway, the
you're
older
going to have two years added to your birthday, so don't push too hard.
But you know, the older I get, the more I realize that God's plan for our lives is the perfect plan, and
yes,
we just
is.
Have to learn how to fall in line with God's will and His desires for us. You know, Lazarus is known around the world because Lazarus was in the plan of God to actually bring about Palm Sunday and the crucifixion. This whole story of Lazarus caused everybody to know that this Jesus wasn't just any ordinary guy walking around. He had to be different. He had to be sent from God. He had to be the Messiah. He had raised a man that had been 4 days in a tomb. He had raised him to life. Who does that? God.
Well, I
does
can't
that.
Think of a soul that has laid in a tomb or a coffin
I can't
anywhere
either.
In a grave that's laid there 4 days
no.
and has been resurrected.
I don't think there's any other
the
story
with the power that Jesus Christ did.
Well,
you know, he
exactly.
was He knew that Lazarus would die, and he showed the power given to him by God by raising Lazarus.
Amen.
Which gave the world hope at that point. Woo. It still gives us hope today. Look at this.
Amen.
We still have hope today.
Yes.
Because we know he resurrected Lazarus. It wasn't a fairy tale. It was a real story.
It's a real story. It's recorded,
he
yes.
Lazarus, he showed all of humanity from that moment on.
Right.
All of humanity knows the power given to this man through his Father. And we know that now we have hope.
Amen.
If we put our faith, our trust, our life in his hands, we will rise victorious over a grave.
Amen. And, you know, death is not going to keep us down, you know. There's an old song they used to do on TBN TV a lot. I can't remember.
There's no power over me?
Yeah.
That's a Nathan song, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a Nathan song. No, the one I'm thinking about, it says, "The grave can't hold me down."
Oh, yes.
You know, that old song. It was really cool. And it's so true. There's coming a day when we are going to be raised up in our resurrected bodies, and we're going to meet Jesus in the air. And a lot of people feel like it's coming pretty darn soon. So it's time to get our houses in order, you know, and to really understand that we need to be doing this walk with the Lord in an excellent way. And
that's
we're going
right.
to talk about the
and we
excellence.
Need to understand
yes.
that even though Jesus is alive and well,
yes,
so is Satan. And he will do everything he can
to try to
keep us from living victoriously with Jesus.
Exactly. I mean, he's always out there attacking in so many
it
ways.
Is.
But we are going to move into the Palm Sunday story here in just a few minutes. But before we do, at the close of this first hour, we want to invite you to Beacon of Hope if you are in the Tampa Bay area. We have a new location, and it's a new building, and we're excited about it. And it was last summer, but we're still excited about it. And it's on Almerton, Bill.
Any new pictures on the website yet?
Oh, you know what? We're going to do that, Carol, aren't we? We're going to put the new pictures of the building on the website. We will get that done, yes.
Oh, thank
yeah,
you.
We've
so,
got to get those to the you. Webmaster and get that stuff done so it can be placed up there.
Yeah, we will get that done. I've got some. And, it just looks great. And it's just beautiful what God has done. And it's 3700 Almerton Road. And really, we're in the end of a little beautiful new strip mall. And right behind Five Guys and Papa John's and Poncheros and all these great eating places. It's pretty cool, actually.
I did miss the Waffle House that was over there.
Yeah, that's gone. Yeah, that's exactly right. But we love our location. If you're in the Tampa Bay area or if you come for a visit, our services are Sunday morning at 11 and Wednesday night at 7. This Wednesday night is going to be a very special Bible study. It actually concludes the series that Pastor Jim's been doing for 7 Wednesdays on our Jewish roots, and it's been an incredible series. We're going to get that series on our website soon. We're working on that, and this Wednesday night we're actually going to have a Jewish Passover service, and it's going to be great. So it's at 7 o'clock this Wednesday night, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. And next Sunday morning is Resurrection Day. They call it Easter, you know, but we call it Resurrection Day. And it's going to be powerful at Beacon of Hope. Bring your friends, your relatives, and crowd in and find a chair, because we're going to have great music and a great celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. So that is next Sunday morning. Again, Sundays are always at 11. Wednesdays it's at 7. And we also have prayer meeting before our Wednesday night Bible study, and that starts about 6:15. And Carol, I know you and Maxine miss the Wednesday nights, especially, don't you? The Bible study time.
Yeah, because I'm a teacher, and I love to be taught.
Right.
I think it comes with the territory.
Sure.
And then I feel that, you know, God uses me as a teacher to work in the fields where he sends me to go and teaches me things to say and do.
Amen.
You know, I know that people are sick of hearing my breast cancer situation, but the whole thing out of this, and I was asked this question Thursday, what was the best thing that came out of you having breast cancer? And it's very simple. I was able to take Jesus Christ and my love of Jesus Christ and his spirituality through the Maxine and myself into situations where other people were facing dire
Yes.
Health issues.
Yes.
And maybe some of them didn't know Jesus. And it was a hope of faith, and it was my teaching journey, and I loved every single minute of it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Couldn't have traded it for a strong, healthy life that never had breast cancer.
And, you know, as soon as we do this station identification, I'm going to mention what happened to you this week. So let's do this.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right, you're listening to Living the Good Life. Let me rephrase that. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We're actually a global ministry, but we're headquartered right here. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. My guest today, one of our regular radio team members, is Carol Wichard from Covington, Georgia, Walnut Grove, Georgia, wherever what you want to call yourself from, my friend. You used to be here in Tampa in our church until God called you up there about 6 years ago. But we won't tell the reason that you are going to be on national TV. I mean, I don't want you to tell the secret of what this is about. But would you say that it has everything to do with your breast cancer situation that you have survived from? And whose show are you going to be on this week, Carol?
World News with Diane Sawyer.
Say what?
Yes, Bill. Can you believe this? Our famous Carol is going to be on Diane Sawyer this week.
All right. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Gosh. Oh, let me just get this right here.
Seriously.
If I say it again, what's she going to be doing?
She
World
is...
News with Diane Sawyer.
Yes. Oh, there we go. Woo! That's that huge crowd that's right here in the studio, you know. Uh-huh.
I know, and I just thank them ever so much, you know. But none of it would be possible without the spiritual journey of walking
yes.
through that situation. It was such a wonderful thing. I know when the young man interviewing me asked me, as I said earlier, what was my greatest joy?
Right.
Or what did I get most out of it? And it was being able to walk the walk, to walk the steps like Palm Sunday, to go into a situation that I knew was bad and yet bring hope to those who didn't have it or whose hope was lacking or whose faith was non-existent, and to bolster up those who had a strong faith, to sit with them and say, brother, sister, we're in this together, and our Father will lead us through it.
And so many times, and I went with you a couple times to Emory, where you were being treated, and so many times there were people in those waiting rooms that you ministered to, and that is the joy. That's what you're saying right here, the joy that came out of this situation, and you are healed, you are in remission.
What day is that going to air?
I'm not sure what day. I will have to let somebody know, because they told me it would air this week, which would be starting tomorrow.
Don't know.
This week.
Did you get to...
But they would let me know the time.
Did you get to mention BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com or Living the Good Life?
No, I don't think she did on that, could you? No?
I don't know. Maybe I did. You know, there was so much that was said and so much that was asked.
We don't know what they'll cut out,
well,
you know.
I'll try to catch it, and then I'll get the video so where you can post it to Living the Good Life.
Yes, we will.
Or BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com.
We'll get it on our website. And it was just, it's an incredible experience. The cameras and the crew and all these people came to your house. What was it? Wednesday or Thursday of this week, right?
Thursday. And, you know, it's a remark. Like you were speaking about your father being in the battlefield in Germany when his life's ambition was to be a physician.
Right.
And God says, I'm going to call you to preach and to teach my word.
Right.
You see, he did not step out of his life's work. He became as Luke, the physician.
Right. He did.
And I didn't step out of my life's work as a teacher. I walked through my journey with no angst, no anger. I walked through my journey totally with faith and
right.
hope. And knowing, and the one thing I said and the one thing that Maxine said was, let's make this a faith journey leading to the cross of Jesus Christ for every person to know that we can walk through the shadow of death.
Yes.
And we can overcome it by the overcomer that lives within us and us within him.
Amen.
And that was my journey. I have loved every single minute of it, even that stupid shot that made me shake and tremble.
Oh, yeah.
All over.
Yeah.
That even brought me closer to Jesus, because the only relief from that agony of that shot was to lean in his arms and to lay back my head on his shoulder and let him hold me.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, I'm like your dad. I've lived my journey.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I've taken what he gave me that I thought I was supposed to be doing all this time. I've taken it to the other side.
Amen. And, you know, Carol, as a result of that, and without giving away why Diane Sawyer wanted you on her show, it is really a powerful story. And the lives that have been touched as a result of your breast cancer, I mean, I remember beyond, I mean, I can remember vividly where I was coming out of our church at Dunedin. I had just gotten into my SUV, and I got the call from you all that you had just been diagnosed with breast cancer. I remember that feeling in the pit of my stomach,
yes,
knowing that you were going to have to go through this. And
yes,
yet now, looking back, and that was, what, 3 years ago or more now, four years?
08.
It was 08, yes. And to know that you are healed and to know that this story is reaching a lot of people, it goes along with our theme today. So, Carol, we'll talk about it more in just a minute. And you mentioned that this takes you to our wonderful, merciful Savior, and you didn't know that that is our next song by Selah. I love that song. Oh, praise God. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Beautiful song.
I just love some of the music because it's prayers.
Yes.
Prayers, you know, people say, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. You know, God doesn't know me. He can't talk to me. He won't talk to me. Could you pray for me? And gosh knows how many times you and I both have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And many other people who are working in his field have done that. But when I tell people, if you can't pray yourself, if you don't know what to say, sing songs to him.
Amen.
The songs you learned as a small child.
Right.
Sing the songs that you hear in today's music, in the gospel, coming out of the gospel music.
Yeah. Oh, that's just a beautiful one. That's by Selah, and I love that. Carol, let's look at John 12, and it's 6 days before Passover. And this is the triumphal entry, and today we mark Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday actually happened on Saturday night. Jesus really went to the cross on Wednesday, not Friday. Yeah. And I'll explain that more next Sunday. But Palm Sunday actually happened on Saturday night. And that is when it was, a little after six on Saturday evening. Lazarus had been raised from the dead. He was alive now. And a lot of people were talking about this. Lazarus and his sisters invited Jesus to dinner, and Mary went and anointed Jesus' feet with expensive oil. Jesus had three anointings in his earthly ministry, and two of these were in the very last week of his life. And this one was Mary, the brother or the sister of Lazarus, and she anointed his feet with oil. And the fragrance of the oils filled the house, which I love this. And then there's this little argument with Judas, the one who was going to betray him, saying, oh, why are we spending that kind of money? And let's just forget all that and go on down to verse 7 in John chapter 12. Jesus says, let her alone. She's anticipating and honoring the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you. You don't always have me. Now, it says in verse 9 of John 12, Carol, this is where it says the word had got out that Jesus was back in town, and the people came to take a look at him, not only at Jesus, but also at Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. So the high priest plotted to kill Jesus. Now, we see in verse 12 of John 12 that this huge crowd has begun to assemble, but they're doing this out of curiosity. And what, you know, they've decided they want to see this Lazarus, and they want to see Jesus. And then we all know the story that Jesus goes and has the disciples get the colt and bring it to him, and he gets on that colt, and he rides into Jerusalem triumphantly to fulfill Scripture. The fifth Old Testament prophecy of Jesus in the book of John is this, and it was from Psalm 70, verse 4, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in God's name, yes, the King of Israel. He was fulfilling that prophecy. Isn't this beautiful, Carol? Oh.
I think it's a remarkably beautiful story. And I want to go back to verse 10. It says,
yes.
The leading priest made plans to kill Lazarus, too.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Remember?
Right.
Because they knew that many people, many of the Jews were leaving.
Yes.
Those priests, because they were aware now that Lazarus had risen, that he was still alive, and he was there with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so they were believing Jesus.
Yeah.
And hearing his stories and leaving all of the local priests. So they became very upset, and they wanted Lazarus killed as well.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, you want to kill the person that is the example
right.
of a risen life, and you also want to kill the person who helped raise that life.
Right.
They wanted to get rid of both of them because that would mean, again, that they would be in power, in a spiritual power of people's minds,
mm-hmm.
priests. So they didn't want to have anything to do with this Jesus person.
Exactly.
You know, they wanted to get him out of the way quickly.
Well, I totally agree with you. And I also want us to make this point again, because the title of the show is The Joy of Excellent Obedience. Now, Jesus did everything excellently. He fulfilled the prophecy to the T, to the letter, to the dot with the, on the I, to the crossing the T. Jesus did exactly what had been prophesied of him. And one of those prophecies, Carol, was that he would be riding into Jerusalem on this donkey. This is, he had to do this, and he obediently did this excellently. You know, he did exactly what God had said he would do. In verse 16 of John 12, the disciples didn't notice the fulfillment of many scriptures at the time, but after Jesus was glorified, they remembered that what was written about him matched what was done to him.
Yes.
And they were giving all these eyewitness accounts, all these people, about Lazarus coming out of the tomb. And they were talking about this. It had to be a wild evening in Jerusalem when Jesus came riding in on that donkey, and the people were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which means, "Save now, Lord, we beseech thee." That is what they were actually asking him to save them, because they were yelling, "Hosanna, Hosanna," you know?
Yes.
And he just, he went right ahead and did what Jesus, or what God the Father had told him to do. Now, I want to go back for a second into Hebrews 12, 1 to 3 here. Powerful scripture, which Paul wrote this, probably Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." We know Jesus ran it with perseverance, didn't he, Carol?
Oh, yes, he did.
I mean, he ran it excellently, an excellent obedience. Verse 2, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy," there's that word right there, and that's in this title of this show today, "the joy of excellent obedience, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Oh, Carol, do you want to comment on the obedience of Jesus, knowing he was going to the cross and he had to go by way of the triumphal entry where everybody is shouting his praises and singing Hosanna, and in a few days from then, they would be saying crucify him instead of Hosanna?
How quickly the worm turns.
Right, yes.
You know, we have great jubilation.
Right.
Great anticipation. Great excitement.
Right.
And don't you know his heart had to have been heavy?
Oh, you know. He was.
He's hearing all of this. He knows all of this is forthcoming.
Yes.
He knows the songs of Hosanna sung as loudly as they can sing.
Right.
And he, in his heart, he had to be saying to himself, "The day is coming. Time is imminent. I will not be here much longer."
Just a few days. This was Saturday night till Wednesday when he was hung on the cross. I mean, this
is... How many
is,
of us, knowing
wow.
that we're facing our own death...
Right.
Kind of like by a firing squad.
Right.
How many of us are going to show the grace that he showed?
Oh.
The calmness that he showed, at least externally. And internally, we know he was saying, "Father, take this cup from me."
Right. But yet he was obedient.
Was obedient.
Yes.
He never did anything slothfully.
Right.
He never did anything halfway. If his name were branded on it, it was to the very best of his ability.
He listened to the Father. Carol, do you remember back in Luke 2 when Jesus was 12 and his parents were in the caravan, and they were going, they had gone up to Jerusalem and they were going back home and they couldn't find Jesus. And so Mary and Joseph had to turn around and go back to Jerusalem to look for their son.
Yes.
Do you remember where they found him?
He was in the temple teaching.
What did he say to them? Do you remember this in Luke 2?
"I must be about my Father's work."
Woo! Even then, at age 12, he understood his purpose. And I think the next line in that, that's at the end of Luke 2, says, "Then he went home willingly and obediently with his parents, and he grew up into a wonderful," you know, all, it just says that he grew up. And you know, he did not say, you know, "What are you doing, chasing me down," or anything. There was no rebellious attitude in him. He was sitting there fulfilling the will of his heavenly Father obediently and doing it excellently.
And, you know, it had to have been a marvelous thing for for his parents to see that taking place.
Yes, yes.
And to see how learned he was at that point, because you know the words coming out of a 12-year-old's mouth are not always filled with philosophical ideas.
But
and here he was teaching the very wisdom and the
yes,
word
that's it.
of his father,
yes.
without exception.
Here.
You know, I have something that I wrote this little thing, and it's called Chosen, Called, and Redeemed.
Okay.
And that's who he was. He was chosen, he was called, and he was redeemed. Mm-hmm. Even at 12, he knew that.
Right. He knew he had a purpose. What his
he
purpose was.
He knew he had a purpose, and he diligently and excellently fulfilled his calling and his purpose, and even in his death.
Amen. Exactly.
He didn't fight it. He could have run. He could have gotten away. He could have put people to say, no, you're not getting him, and just cause all kinds of havoc. Instead, he trudged up that hill with that cross on his back, that burden of sin from us to carry him.
That's right.
Literally to his death.
Exactly. Exactly.
Obediently. How many of us will even today strap on the cross of Jesus to carry it even down to the end of our driveway?
Well, but he had a purpose, Carol, and that's what you're saying. He knew his purpose. He knew what God the Father had said he had to do, and he willingly did it. And even with this triumphal entry, and he is being proclaimed, you know, as the King of Israel. You know,
yes.
And they were looking at him as a political king, that this was going to be a political victory here.
That's
and
right.
Instead, that wasn't it at all. And Jesus, the Son, had spent so much time with the Father that he knew the purpose of his life here on this earth, that he knew the purpose, let's say, of the miracle of Lazarus. He knew the purpose of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and all the healings and all that. And it was all about showing everybody the Father. That's what it was all about. And so when it came close to his death, he knew that. And we look at this. Let's go over... before this next song, I want us to look at verse 24 of John chapter 12 about the grain of wheat that must die.
I was just reading John 23 when Jesus said, "The time has come."
Yes, yes.
Time has come for the Son of Man to receive his glory. And then we fall into 24.
Go ahead and read it. Do you have it, Carol? Go ahead and read it.
Okay. I tell you the truth. A grain of wheat must fall to the ground and die to make many seeds. But if it never dies, it remains only a single seed. For those who love their lives, going into 25, will lose them. And those who hate their lives in this world, we kept true life forever. Whoever serves me must follow me. Then my servant will be with me wherever I am. My Father will honor anyone who serves me. And, you know, being a seed, you know, a person who loves plants and flowers and veggies, you have to plant a seed. A seed by itself in your hand does nothing.
It does nothing until it's buried.
It occupies a little tiny place in your hand. But when you put that seed into the ground, then everything beautiful blossoms from it. It is an awakening. It is a spiritual awakening when you see seeds popping the ground to produce food or beauty for the world.
Amen.
Or medicinal powers coming from it.
Right. That's exactly right.
And when you
right.
see the seed of Jesus Christ, which is his word in Scripture, taken into the empty lives of people who don't know him, who have never even heard of him, that still astonishes me to this day, that people still have not ever heard his name.
Right.
But when you take that seed into the world and you fill it, the seed of Jesus, the words spoken in Scripture about him and by him and after his death, began to open up and they spread. And look where we are today. We're coming closer and closer and closer to the day of our resurrection.
Amen. Let's listen to No Greater Love, and then we're going to talk about John 12:24.
For the city, for the world, we pray. Let your light shine down, come around and live in us. For the close and the far away, everywhere you are,
and the strong and in the weak, and the orphans and the widows, in the churches and the bars. You are everywhere, God, you are everywhere, yeah. And we lift higher the banner of the cross. There is no greater love than this, no love but this. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. There is no greater love than this, no love but this.
No greater love than what Jesus did by going to the cross. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Carol, this John 12, 24 and 25, unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. And Jesus was telling them, look, this is what has to happen. I've got to die, be buried, go into that tomb. And because I do that willingly, obediently to what the Father has asked me to do, with joy, knowing that I am going to do this, unless I do that, there can't be all this resurrection life, you know? He had to fulfill the will of the Father, did he not?
He did, because otherwise the whole story is pointless.
Right.
His life would have been pointless.
Right, just a good teacher.
I mean, look,
and that's what a lot of people think, you know?
He could have lived on earth forever.
Right.
But his prophecy of his life would never have been fulfilled had he not suffered, died, and put on the cross and rose again.
Exactly.
And by doing that, hope springs eternal, that you and I and everybody listening will do the same thing. We can spring life eternal through Jesus Christ. And, you know, when you and I talk about Jesus, it's a very personal relationship.
Right. Exactly.
Have. And yet every person out there should be saying the same thing. Everyone that hears our voice in any way should be saying, the Jesus they're talking about today on Palm Sunday is my Jesus.
Amen.
He knows my name.
Yes.
He knows that I'm his.
Amen.
He is mine as well as he is theirs.
Right. Oh, yes, absolutely.
It is eternal.
But, you know, when it comes to this whole concept of a grain of wheat buried in the ground and dying, okay, which we know is a metaphor for Jesus, you know, being, you know, going to the cross and dying and all that. We can take this to a deeper level, too, Carol, because what Jesus taught so often through his life here was it was all about obedience to what the Father told him to do. He walked this earth being obedient. And he did it in such a way, because we read Hebrews 12, 1 to 3 a few minutes ago, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, but now sits at the right hand of the Father. He endured the cross because he knew that the outcome was not just the cross. There was so much more. There was so much that was going to happen on the cross, where he took our sins, our sicknesses, our pains, all of that in his body on the cross. He knew that was going to happen. And so that was a joyful experience. The dying process was a joy to him, Carol, and
yes,
should be to us. And I want us to talk about this for a minute. The dying that we are supposed to be doing on a daily basis, not our physical bodies being a little closer to death or not as strong as they used to be when we were 20 or anything like that. I'm talking about the dying to our own fleshly desires, our own control, if you will, that says, I got to do it my way and everybody's going to see it my way or else. We've got to learn to die to all of that and learn excellent obedience. Comment.
Well, I say it over and over and over, and I'll go back and repeat it again. We
go
have
ahead.
To die to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
All of our selfish attitudes that we have, all of the angst that we have in us about other people,
yep.
all of our fears. We've got to take each of those things every day and die to them a little bit more every day. Pick out one thing if you have to do it. If you can't do it totally and just turn your life over to Jesus in one moment on your knees. And even at that, it is a following and a process that you go through.
It is a process.
I remember one incident that just kind of sticks out in my mind. I used to get much younger, I would say at least 20 years ago. I used to get aggravated when people would cut me off in traffic, and I didn't scream and yell or whatever. I would just say, "You crazy nut, look what you've done," you know?
Yeah.
And then one day I was driving down the road, and because my job was teaching, I traveled a lot within my county and out of my county, and it's happened to me daily. And I remember this one time I wanted to say something. All of a sudden, this little calmness overcame me, and I thought, what difference does it matter? I can't change
right.
their driving habit because mm-hmm. I'm going to say something out loud to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wait a minute, yesterday I was aggravated, and
right.
today I feel a peace about it.
Amen.
And I realized it was Jesus saying to me, let it go.
Right.
Let it go. And I began to realize in my life even more and more when something caused me great aggravation or I wanted to become outward speaking about something, Jesus would say to me, I felt his hand on my shoulder mm-hmm. symbolically, like, let it go, honey. It's not worth it. Listen to me. Lean to me. Talk to me about it. And I began to feel my spirit becoming more and more blending into his and thinking,
amen.
I'm going to love that person today. And so when I would see somebody being ugly, and then maybe a cashier at a store being ugly to me or somebody else, I would say, I'm going to love you more today because obviously I need to do that.
Right.
Somebody's got to love you today.
Right, exactly.
You're being a toad.
Right, exactly. And basically what you're saying is that we do our best to learn to look through the eyes of the Father. And
it's hard sometimes.
There are
some people you want to look at with a critical eye, you know. You watch them do some cockamamie things.
Right.
And you want to look at them critically. You may
yeah.
want to look at them through eyes of angst.
Right.
And your eyes turn red and flash all these, you know, neon signs that go, bad person, bad person. We need to look. We don't know their circumstance, number
right.
one. I've taught myself, I don't know the circumstance of somebody that was just ugly to me.
Right. You know, we played earlier on this show, Open Our Eyes, Lord, We Want to See Jesus. And we skipped over this, but I want to go back here just a minute. In verse 20, the Greeks had come to town for the feast. They approached Philip. And they said, sir, we want to see Jesus. Can you help us? I love that right there. We want to see Jesus. Well, they wanted to see him physically because he was like a star, you know?
Sure.
I mean, this is the guy who had raised Lazarus out of the tomb. And so, you know, they wanted to see the physical Jesus. But when we take this spiritually, and we say, okay, God, I want to see you. I want to see Jesus in my circumstances. I want to see the way you would react here, Jesus, not the way my flesh wants me to be, not the way my anger or my anxiety or my fear that's welling up within me wants to be. I want to see Jesus in this circumstances, and I want to behave excellently. Out of obedience.
And look at envy. You know, what you're talking about, we can also say to envy and jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
We want, you know, somebody will say, well, you're too spiritual. I can't pray like you, or I can't sing the songs or whatever, or I don't know how to act, or I'm jealous of the fact that Jesus loves you, and he obviously doesn't love me as much as he loves you.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, we need to look at that through spiritual eyes and say, I want to achieve what you have achieved. I want to achieve the peace that you have achieved. Tell me how you did it.
Amen.
And then that opens up the dead seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we can take those dead seeds and we can plant them in fertile ground, which is a mind and a heart and a soul seeking the Word of God in a different way.
We can plant the love and the hope.
Yes.
And that's what you did at Emory, Carol, all those times that you would be in the waiting room waiting for chemo or treatment or something. And so many times you would tell me of some of the people that, sat down beside you or near you crying or aching and uncertain and fearful about the outcome of their lives as a result of the diagnosis of cancer, and how many times you were willing, a willing servant and obedient, and you did it excellently, and you would just allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and talk to them, and there was so many blessings that occurred and that blessed you as a result of your obedience. Is that not correct?
Oh, it was wonderful for me.
Yes.
Because even in the depths of their angst and the lack of spirituality that they would share, I got such a joy. I was the one that received
right.
blessings. Being able to find a willing ground, a fertile soil for the Word of God given to
yes.
me
yes.
to be able to give to somebody else, I was blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. And so was Maxine. We just, everything we did just exceeded the next thing. And yet we knew it wasn't us as women. It was the Word of God moving through us.
Amen.
And that's why I went through it with such a calmness about it. I was never excited about, in a bad way, about, oh, I've got to do this or what's going to be the outcome.
No, you had a
Every
wonderful
time
attitude.
I went
yeah.
into, you know, mm-hmm. I'm absolutely claustrophobic beyond any sense of belief.
I remember.
And when I would have to go into those little chambers
yeah.
to be checked with
right.
all types of radiation and materials and so forth, I didn't go by myself. There were times I would have to say, give me a moment, and they'd say, what do you need? I said, I need to speak to my Savior. I need to ask Jesus
Amen.
To come with me in that chamber.
Amen.
I can't do it by myself. And in my natural self, lying in one of those MRI machines or one of those CAT scan machines or whatever it might have been, I couldn't have done that. I would have torn that thing apart trying to get out.
Right.
And I went in there, and I could feel his presence.
Woo!
I could feel him in the chambers talking to me.
Yes.
I sang because I couldn't move my mouth because it would make my body move in ways that they didn't want me to do. I would sing songs in my head, and I'd talk to him, and he would talk to me. And I would tell people when they would come out and say, we're going to put you in the MRI now, Ms. Jones or Mr. Jones. And the person would look at me. I said, it's okay. It's okay. Jesus is going to be there. Would
Amen.
You tell him hello to me?
You know, Carol, as you were saying this, it reminded me of a dear friend of mine in my church in Indiana at Cornerstone. Her name is Sheila Duvall, and she is getting ready to have heart surgery on Tuesday, and I want our listening audience to pray for her. A few weeks ago, they had told her that they weren't going to be able to operate. There wasn't much they could do to save her. And there's been a lot of prayer go up for Sheila. And, you know, this is an example of somebody who has loved the Lord. She's had a lot of pain and suffering, lost her husband to cancer. She lost a son in a traffic accident. All this many years ago when I was pastoring that church in Indiana. And Sheila is a dear, dear person and loves the Lord with all her heart. And, you know, this is an example of one of those that you used to sit by at Emory and be able to give words of encouragement. And we do that if Sheila's listening today, and she does normally listen to this show, that Sheila, there's a group that's praying for you on Tuesday during this surgery, and we are believing God for the miracle that you need in that heart, and that the surgeon's hands will be guided and everything will turn out great. And we speak life to Sheila right now in
Amen.
The name of
yes.
Jesus. And, you know, there's Carol. I believe there's others out there in our listening audience that are going through so many hard times. And, you know, we have to come to the point in our lives where we say, God, not my will, but thine be done, you know?
Yes.
And I want to die,
you know, speaking
to self.
About my situation,
yes.
It just came to me that not only is my situation unique from the way it began, and you and I know how it began, and that will be revealed on the Diane Sawyer Show. But it's also a fantastic spiritual journey.
Yes.
It's a spiritual journey. I mean, that's the part of it I would really like to share the most, is the spiritual journey that it took me on.
Right.
It was just phenomenal. The people that we have met, the
right.
people that we have encountered in various ways, the nurses and even the doctors, and people would come up and say to me, you, even in the supermarkets, in places that I was in a wheelchair for a while because my mobility was so bad that Maxine would be pushing me in a wheelchair or something, and people would come up and say, you have the most amazing radiance to your face. It wasn't me. You see, it was the glory of God shining
Amen.
Through me. And then
yeah.
I was able to tell my story. Or someone would come up and say, I've been told to come speak to you. And I said, well, who told you? And they said, the Spirit of God moved me to come over here to
right.
speak.
Right. Amen.
That was the most amazing part. You see, folks, let me
yeah.
tell you something.
Yes.
You open your heart up, and I'm telling everybody
Amen.
Out there in radio
Open
land,
your heart.
When you open your heart up to serve Jesus
mm-hmm.
Christ, to accept Jesus Christ, and to serve Him, the doors open that you never could possibly begin. You would even stand behind them.
Right.
And they open up because you have the seed of life planted in your life, and you can give it to other people.
Amen.
By talking to them, by praying with them, by reassuring them that nothing they go through is too big for Jesus.
Amen.
And that they're never alone. I mean, even recently, a young person was talking to me, and they were so scared of an event they were getting ready to have to go through. And they said, I feel so alone. And I said, well, sweetie pie, you're not alone. I said, Jesus is right there beside you through the
Amen.
Whole thing. So listeners, please bear this in mind. When you have a situation, even a good one, he loves celebrations.
Right.
He loves to dance. He loves to sing. He loves to be with us in our joyous times.
Yes.
But then with there with you, and in your times of that are filled with fear and angst and what doctors and other medicine people and everybody else may tell you is hopeless, until he tells you it's hopeless, it's not hopeless.
No, and he's always on the scene, and he is with Sheila this week.
Yes, he
and
is.
So many out there, and you know, the bottom line is we have to give these difficult situations over to God and say, God, I can't fix this that I have to go through, or I don't even want to go through this surgery or this event. I don't want to go through this divorce or this bankruptcy or whatever our listeners are going through right now. But God is saying to you, dear one, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am there with you. That is what God is saying right this moment. Listen, God is saying, I am there with you just as he was with Jesus. As Jesus had to go through these events when he lived on this earth, and Jesus did it joyfully, all these things, knowing that he was fulfilling God's will for him. And whatever it is you're going through, remember that we can't grow our faith without a problem. So when we have the problems, it's an opportunity for us to grow, and we learn God's ways. And I am always amazed how our conversation comes around to what the next song is. And it's never planned. It is never planned. This
never
is
planned.
Never. One of my favorite Hillsong songs, Show Me Your Ways.
My home.
Praise God. I love that song. Bill, cue that up again. We're going to come back to it, and just I'll tell you when in just a couple minutes, and we'll just keep it going through the end of the show. But wait a minute. I want to give Carol some time here to give her final thoughts before we do that and before we pray for some of these people. Carol, I just always love when you're on the show. I love our whole radio team. There's 8 or 9 of us now, and it's just a joy. And we're going to expand that and include some pastor friends of ours, aren't we, as we go on?
That's the plan.
So, Carol, give us your final thoughts here before I minister to a few people here.
Well, I guess some of my final thoughts would be whatever's keeping you from Jesus, whatever's keeping you from eternal life, whether it's alcohol or drugs or just a hatred in your heart or just the fact that you don't seem to think that Jesus is alive and well, please, please, please understand that the hosannas that were sung, the hosannas that were sung today in churches throughout the world were because the triumphant Jesus Christ is coming again.
Amen.
He wants to take us all to go with him. So if you're being kept from him by some vice or some decision that you have maybe an apathetic heart, learn who he is. Let somebody plant the seed
Amen.
Of life in you, the living word of Jesus Christ. Pick the scriptures up, read them yourself, and do all of that that you can, because your life and you are important to him. Not only to him, but to this ministry and to the loving, reaching out part of our own personal hearts as people who serve him and who read his word and who try our darndest to live his word in every way that we possibly can. It's not a long way to Jesus. It's a very short distance, down on your knees and then coming back up. You will come a resurrected soul once you
Amen.
Do that.
Amen. Carol.
I would like to include in the prayers today that you include the prayers for all the people, 44 people who have been killed, their affected families through the tornadoes that began in Oklahoma
right.
and have gone as far as south in North Carolina.
All right.
Devastation everywhere. So please pray for those people and
yes,
those families
do.
And those of you listening out there today. Lift your hands and your hearts up to Jesus and ask him how and what you can do to strengthen the people that are left behind.
Yes.
And who have been so terribly devastated.
Amen. Amen.
And the Japan situation. We need to lift up. You know, we're told to lift up our world leaders and our world situations.
There's so much going on.
Lift those hands and ask how you can help.
Exactly. Amen. And we just thank you, Carol, for being on today. God bless you so much. And we will try to put on our website when you're going to be on Diane Sawyer this week. So people check our website, beaconoffhopeministries.com, and then you can see Carol and somebody else that's going to be on there with her, which is really
yeah.
cool. So anyway, God bless you, Carol. Thank you so much. Show
with
me your
you
ways.
Too.
Show
it's
me
been
your
a pleasure,
ways.
As it always is.
Amen. Dear one, you know, God's got a plan for your life, and a lot of times we struggle with what that is, and we just can't seem to find it, and we just let our circumstances and the pain and suffering maybe that we're going through physically or mentally or emotionally or financially get to us to the point that we just pull away from God. And God is saying to us, to each of us right now, that we need to come running to him like these people really did on that Palm Sunday, where they were worshiping and praising God and singing Hosanna. We need to seriously take time and say, God, show me your ways. Show me what you have for my life, because I think there's more to it than just getting up, going to work, having family issues, whatever. There's more that God has for you. Make this your cry right now. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, ask him right now, show me your way, Lord, and invite him to come into your heart by faith. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Because with the mouth you confess it. So speak it out of your mouth. Jesus, come into my heart by faith right now. Show me your ways. I want you to live in my heart from this moment on, and you will begin a journey that is going to be so life-changing. Show me your ways, mighty God. That is our cry today. Show me your ways, mighty God, that I may walk with you. I want to walk with you. Let's just crank it up for a minute or two then, and I'll come back in just a second. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
The cry of my heart is to love you more. Live with your touch of your hand. Stronger than show me the way.
Play it again, Bill, but just lower it a little bit and let me say a couple things. We're so glad you've listened to Living the Good Life today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. This is a worldwide ministry you can become involved in. And we give you teaching every week on this radio show. This is our fifth year on the air. We're excited about that. Right here at Tan Talk 1340 in Clearwater. We've been on the station 4 complete years, and we're into our fifth year now. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Find out all about what's going on at Beacon of Hope. I've written 3 books. Bill mentioned my latest one, Letters to Lori. And that is a letter, or that is a book of letters I wrote my daughter this past year. She's in a minimum security prison in Indiana, getting out this summer. We're excited about that. And God has totally transformed her life. You can be praying for Lori. She needs your prayers, but she really is doing great. And we thank God for the miracle in her life. Beacon of Hope is a teaching ministry, and we are going to try to get more of the sermons on our website, but our radio shows are always on the next day after the show. So this show will be back on our website tomorrow. Then it stays on forever, thanks to our great engineer, Bill. So once it's on, and we've got at least 2 years of radio shows and more on our website. So there's a lot of good teaching, a lot of good music on there. So tell somebody that they can go and access these shows, 2-hour shows. They'll be a real blessing. If you want to give financially, we do not make a big deal of money on this program. God always supplies every single time in all these 4 years. So, but if you want to be a partner with us, go to our website, go to PayPal. It's safe and secure, and you can give a donation, and that would be fantastic. And it will go towards this radio outreach. What comes in on PayPal goes toward these radio bills. So if you want to be a partner with us, go there and do that today or sometime soon. So anyway, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, of course, you're welcome to our services. Sunday morning at 11, Wednesday night at 7 is Bible study, prayer meeting at 6:15. Last week, we had a wonderful soaking prayer meeting on Friday night where we were just sat in the presence of the Lord. What a joyful, wonderful time. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you. This coming Sunday is Resurrection Day. Why don't you join us this Sunday at Beacon of Hope for that very, very special service? It'll be great. Show me your way, Heavenly Father. You know, God is doing great things in our lives. Miracles are happening. We want to hear from you. You can send your prayer requests and your praise reports to prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. And we will answer you, and we will pray for your need. Whatever the week brings to you this week, God is going to be right there with you. He loves you so much. He loves you so very much, and he has a plan for your life. And so we say, Lord, show us your ways. Show us how you want us to react to the circumstances that come in our lives on a daily basis. Because there are so many things that we have to deal with. God, we love you so much. God bless each one of you. So, Bill, let's go to our end song, It's Not Far to Jesus. And we are so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and my buddy up in Georgia, Carol. And don't forget, she's going to be on Diane Sawyer World News this week. So if you want to know when that is, we don't even know yet. We should find out tomorrow. We will put that on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, so that you can see, put a face to Carol and all the wisdom that you hear on this show from her from time to time. So God bless you. Have a great week. And know that he loves you so very much. He's got a plan for your life. He knows the plans he has for you. They are to prosper you and to give you a hope. Tune in again next week as we teach you more word and talk about God's wonderful blessings. It's Not Far to Jesus. Oh, let's crank that song up. There's more to it. Praise God. See you next week.